أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين Now alhamdulillah we come to the second ayah of the Surah Yasin والقرآن الحكيم So this is والقرآن الحكيم is a qasam, of course. Allah swears by the Qur'an. Now, the question is, why should Allah swear by anything for us? Usually people who are not relied very much, who are not very authentic for us, they make a qasam, they swear by something so that we believe them. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need to swear by something so that we believe Him? And if He doesn't want to tell us the truth, would making a qasam avail at all? I mean swearing by something. And, well, it is not a custom, it is not a habit of great authorities to swear by anything for people. They just announce something, they don't swear by something so that you believe me that this is the case. So the question has always been, why should Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make a qasam at all? Why should He swear by something? Now, if you go through the Qur'an, well, one point before this, the second thing about it, usually you swear by something which is very important for the listener and for the speaker. Now, what is more important than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that He make a swear by that thing? I mean, all of us, when we want to make a swear, when we want to make a qasam, we say, Wallahi, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when Allah wants to make a qasam and swears, then He should swear by something which is much less than Himself. And this doesn't make sense. Now, if we ponder on the qasams which are in the Qur'an, which of course are very frequent, we found out that this is not something to persuade us to think that Allah is telling the truth. It is something to persuade us to ponder upon the subject of the qasam itself. And in fact, it is a kind of, well, qasam is always a persuasive kind of language. It is a strong language to persuade the listener that what I am saying, what I am telling you, deserves all kinds of attention, deserves to be thought carefully, and Allah has used this. And in fact, Allah is condescending Himself very much by making these qasams to tell us that you have to pay attention to what I say. And this is very important. In fact, if you come to the Qur'an, I mean, compare Allah with any superior authority. I mean, superior authorities usually, they only inform you, they announce things, and they say, this is the case, you have to follow, and you would follow because they are authority. Allah has not spoken in this language with us. He has condescended Himself. He has come down and used all styles of language to persuade us. Now, if you are persuaded, is there any benefit for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that? Of course not, there's no benefit. It means He is so merciful, so kind, that He wants to use all styles of language, persuasive language, for us to ponder upon what He says and to think about, of course, the warnings and the good rewards that He is promising us for the hereafter. There are many verses in the Qur'an saying, Allah says that I have used all kinds of language, all styles of language for you to listen. وَصَرَّفْنَا فِيهَ مِنَ الْوَعِيدِ I have brought all kinds of threats even in this book so that you might ponder, you might listen. And, well, of course, this qasam, والقرآن الحكيم, is one of them. And you would see many of the surahs of the Qur'an start with a qasam. And that qasam, of course, is related to the content of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to continue with the surah. And well, when he swears by the sun, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, this is just to bring us to our minds to think about these things which we usually take for granted. And of course, to be persuaded by this kind of strong and persuasive language that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to tell us things. So here Allah swears by the Qur'an, وَالْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ. Okay, before talking about what is the Qasam about, what Allah wants to say after the Qasam, here the Qur'an is used as a subject for this Qasam. It means the very book which we are going to read is a subject for this Qasam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, there is an attribute for this Qur'an, which is Hakim. Hakim is from Hikmah. Hikmah is wisdom. So this Qur'an is Hakim because it is full of wisdom. Now, Allah has used many other attributes to describe Qur'an for us in the very book, in the Qur'an. Who remembers what kind of attributes Allah has used for? I mean, there are several attributes used to describe the Qur'an. Who remembers? Of course, apart the Shaykh, who knows everything. Who knows what other attributes are used in the Qur'an to describe the Qur'an itself? No, just an attribute of the Qur'an. Al-Qur'an al-Majid. Majid means what? Full of glory, glorious, very high. It's from Majd, wal-Qur'an al-Majid. Okay, any other? Kareem, of course. And Kareem means what? Of course, when Kareem is used as an attribute of a human being, it means generous. Well, they are generous because they have something to give, of course. Well, sometimes some of us have many things to give, but we are not generous. Sometimes some of us have nothing, but we are generous still. But when it is used for Qur'an, it means it is full of benefits. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ. And Kareem is used in this meaning in the Qur'an. For example, about the smoke which covers the Jahannam. Well, I hope you never see that anyway, because even the very sight of it is dreadful. But it says about the smoke which covers the Jahannam and doesn't let any light goes in there. It says there is a smoke, there is a cloud of smoke on Jahannam, but that cloud wouldn't bring any cold, any coolness. La baridin wala kareem. And there's no benefit in that cloud of smoke which is covering Jahannam. So Kareem is used. So when he says إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ, it means it's full of benefits. Okay? Any other thing? Arabi, yes. قُرْآنًا Arabian. Now, what does this mean? It means it's in plain Arabic. Just when we want to say that I'm talking to you in plain English, it means I'm talking to you straightforwardly, very, very clearly, very lucidly I'm talking to you. And when he says إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا, we have sent down this to you in plain Arabic. Well, of course, because the addresses were Arabic. So that you think about, of course, this is again a kind of persuasive thing. I mean, when you say, tell to someone that I'm talking to you in plain English, it means, why don't you understand? I mean, it's very, very strange that you are not understanding. So, it's Qur'an and Arabian. And there's something coming after this. No, yes? There's Mubin, okay? Ahsantum. It's Mubin, very clear. Of course, this is a very clear language. So, anyone thinking that Qur'an has some sort of a complication in his statement. I mean, when we go and we talk about muhkam and mutashabih, it is not about the plain language that Quran uses. It's very plain, very clear. Even those of us who do not know Arabic very well, when we recite the Quran, we understand it sometimes because it's very clear, very plain Arabic, without any convolution. And this is exactly the word used in the Quran. غَيْرَ ذِي عِوَجٍ. It comes Quran and Arabian, غير. So Sorry. The awajan, the Arabic is ghayra, the awajan, with no convolution in its statements. It's very straightforward. You don't find any complication in any sentence, any statement of the Quran, of course. Okay, anything else? There are a few others. I don't remember myself. I have to look. And Hakim is, well, this is what we said. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي والقرآن العظيم, the great Quran, of course. Azim is also used. والقرآن we have to write it like this. والقرآن العظيم. So very great. And also there is an attribution of the Quran not by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but by those who believed in it and heard it very carefully and paid attention to it by heart. And this is not an attribute given to it by human beings, but by jinn. What attribute they gave to Quran? قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرُ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنْ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. A very strange Quran. It means there is no precedent for such a book. It's very amazing. Of course, and Allah hasn't said that, no, they are false, it's not amazing. It is really amazing. It's a fascinating book for those who really ponder on it. So these are the terms used in the Quran, and also وَالْقُرْآنِ الذَّكْرِ, the Quran which includes lots of remindings, lots of remindings for people. So zikr, this is saad, wal Quran zikr, bal alladhina kafaru fi azzatin wa shiqaq. Now these different attributes for the Quran is used in different places in accordance with the context in which they are used. Now here, yeah, la rayba fi. There is no doubt in this book, la rayba fi. Yeah, and we, if we go to Kitab, then we find many, many other attributes. These are specifically mentioned for the Quran, but for example, wa innahu la kitabun aziz. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه تنزيل العزيز. Well, I don't remember the rest of it. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه تنزيل العزيز الرحيم. Something like this. Okay. So it is a book which prevents batil coming into it. Well, of course, we don't know how that mechanism works, and it has worked through very, very ordinary kind of procedures that no one has been able to alter its verses. Well, of course, the books of God are usually at the peril of being distorted, and this has happened to all books. How this has not happened about the Quran, this is a very amazing thing. You hear about many literature, many writings at the beginning of Islam, like for example Kitabu Ali or Mus'hafu Fatima. You can't find them now. There is no literature from the beginning of Islam, I mean from the very beginning of Islam, left for us. All of them are lost, or I mean the copies are destroyed and all these things. But the Quran is very strange. I mean, if you go to a Quran from the first century and a Quran from the 14th century, all the same, you can't find any difference. And this is amazing. Now, the exegetes usually say this has happened through a kind of very, very ordinary and natural procedure. And Allah has, for example, Allama Tabatabai, when put when this question is put to him, that why, for example, there's no mention of Ali ibn Abi Talib in the Quran, although he is very important and he is one of the pillars of our religion, he says, well, if there was a name, it was a very good motivation for people to take that verse out of the Quran after all those political disturbances which happened. And since Allah knew this, He did not put any verse mentioning Ali ibn Abi Talib. So it went very, in a very natural way. If Allah had mentioned any of the Sahaba in the Quran, and after that those Sahaba gained power, what they could, they would have done everything, they would have exerted every effort to take those ayahs out by any kind of manipulation. But of course there's no mention of Sahaba, except say for example Zayd, who had of course a kind of clear background in the Quran and did not find any power afterwards to do any harm to the Quran. So it has been saved in a very natural way, because Allah's sunnah, Allah's canon is not to intervene supernaturally in things so that we find out. If we find out, it's Qiyamah. We shouldn't find out now. We should think that everything is very natural, so that the doubts come and all these things, and our soul, our intellect start to strive to become clear which way we want to choose and we want to go. This is very, very important. Inna sa'ata atiyatun, it is addressed to Musa alayhi salam, akadu ukhfiha. The sa'ah, the hour, the moment of Qiyamah will come, but I have very, very tactfully hidden it. It's hidden. لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى, so that everyone is rewarded according to what they do. Because if we know that there is a Qiyamah by sure from the very beginning, of course if we progress in Iman, we will have yaqeen, we become sure. But right from the beginning, if everyone was sure about it, then of course there was no trial, no test, no realization of the self and of the soul that Allah has given us as a treasure. Now, this, for example, as I said, the qasam should be appropriate to the context. For example, when in Surah Sa'd Allah says, "Wal-Qur'an al-dhikr," I swear by the Qur'an, which is full of reminders. And then He says, "But بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي عَزَّةٍ وَشِقَاقٍ," but those who disbelieve are in arrogance and in dispute. Although this is full of reminders, but they are in dispute. So it's always in the context. It's always appropriate. Now, what does Allah want to tell us by this? وَالْقُرْآنَ الْحَكِيمِ, what is this swearing for? This swear by Qur'an al-Hakim for? إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, you are from the convoys, from the messengers sent to people. Now, what is the appropriateness of this Al-Qur'an al-Hakim? I mean, if someone do not believe in the Qur'an, should Allah swear by the Qur'an to persuade them that you are a messenger? I tell you that this is a book I have written, and you say, no, you haven't written this book. I say, I swear by this book that I have written it. And you say, well, I don't believe at all that you have written this book. How do you swear by this book? If someone does not believe in the Qur'an, he would not believe in the messenger. Or if someone do not believe in the messenger, would not believe in the Qur'an. So why should Allah swear by the Qur'an to persuade the listener that you are a messenger? What's the answer? Well, you try to find an answer and I try to wipe this out. The answer is in the attribute of the Qur'an. This book is full of wisdom, and anyone reciting it would find out that wisdom in the book. So, and this shows that you are a messenger. You don't need to bring any miracle. Anyone reading this book would find out that this, you are a messenger. These words could not come from an ordinary person. And some of the exegetes, when they come to this surah in verse in Surah Baqarah, wa in kuntum fi raybin mimma nazzalna ala 'abdina fa'tu bi suratin min mithlih. If you are in doubt of what we have sent down to our messenger, to our servant, bring a surah like it. فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ. They say, some of them say, مِّن مِثْلِهِ means from someone like the Prophet, like this illiterate person. If someone like the Prophet who was illiterate, of course, could talk all these wisdoms, could talk about the books of the past, and when Jews and Christians come and listen, they say, they realize that this is not ordinary thing. This is talking the truth about the past. He has not been able to read Torah. He has not been able to read Bible. Of course, you know, Bible was translated into Arabic in the 3rd century. And therefore, Prophet had even if he could read, he could not read the Bible, which was in Hebrew language. So, giving all those information, all those details, and for example, when Allah talks about Surah Yusuf, giving all those details, says تَلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ. These are from the unseen news that we are revealing to you. You didn't know all these things. Neither your people, I mean, there was no one in the vicinity of the Prophet knowing about these things. But him giving all these things, it was a proof. Anyone who heard the Prophet from Jews or Christians, Allah says, they would have known it by the very deepest persuasion in their heart that this is the Prophet. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ. As they know their sons, they never make a mistake that this is my son, this is not my son. They know that this is the Prophet, because the things he says is very strange, is very amazing. It's full of wisdom, first of all, full of news. For example, in Surah Maryam, Allah says, you didn't know anything about all these things that we are telling you. وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يُلْقُونَ أَقْلَامَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ يَكْفُلُ مَرْيَمْ. You were not with them when they were casting their pens or their qalams, so that they find out who should be a guardian of Maryam. وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ. You went with them when they were disputing with each other. All these we are giving to you as a revelation. So, والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين. This is the best proof. If you want to find out whether the Prophet was truthful or not, don't seek miracles. Don't go and search for miracles. Miracles are just for one time. They persuade people who see it. Those who don't see it, they say, okay, these are reports, these might be legends, these might be myths, talked through the centuries, generation to generation. But go and recite the Quran, and that's the best proof. You will find out that, yes, this man who has talked about these things should have been a messenger. So, this is why Al-Quran al-Hakim is mentioned as a qasam here. Now, we talked about hikmah and wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, you might say anything which is wise, anything which is full of knowledge, or anything which is full of insight, we call it a hikmah, or a kind of a word which is hakim, a statement which is hakim, as the Quran is described in this way. But this hikmah, when we study a bit more about it, we find out it has a technical meaning in the Quran as well as the general term. Now, I ask you, you have heard this verse comes up very frequently in the Quran. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Okay, every prophet has come to يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Okay, kitab is the book, of course, and hikmah is wisdom. Now, if the kitab includes wisdom, Why should Allah separate them that prophets have come to teach them kitab and to teach them hikmah? Yes? Mm-hmm. Yes? But they teach them both the book, kitab, and the wisdom. And if kitab is full of wisdom, so, I mean, this is redundant to say that they teach them kitab and they teach them hikmah. Yes? Yes, this is a possibility. That's of course. But in other verses we have that prophets, we have sent down to you these verses so that you explain for them these, and as well you have to teach them hikmah. Now, just to give you a clue about Isa alayhi salam, he says, I have only come to teach you hikmah. وَلَمَّا جَاءَ عِيسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالَ قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. I have brought you wisdom, not book, not kitab. Just, but he had a book, didn't he? I mean, Injil. But he says, قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِال... This is in Surah Zukhruf. وَلَمَّا جَاءَ عِيسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالَ قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. And of course, وَلِأُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي تَخْتَلِفُونَ فِيهِ. And to clarify for you things which you dispute about them. But his main thing is hikmah, not the book. Now, this is my guess. And of course, I haven't seen it in the books of Exodus, so you might say that this is rubbish. Okay, but this is what I think, that here kitab doesn't mean book. It means what is written for you. In terms of Sharia, in terms of the thing that you have to do. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum siyam. The fasting is written for you. So that is a kitab, isn't it? Siyam is a kitab. And salat is mentioned explicitly in the Quran to be a kitab, isn't it? Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'mineen kitaban mawquta. Salat is a kitab, is a written duty for mu'mineen, which has of course a specific timing, and this is very important. Specific timing of salat is very important, and it is explicitly mentioned in the Quran. It does not avail that any time you wish you go to Allah and supplicate. It's good. فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So, after your salat, you do and remember God how, in whatever way you want. But this salat has a specific time, okay? Don't forget about it, and don't think that other religions did not have this kitab mawqut. Okay? Every religion, Christianity, which, of course, Christianity doesn't have any kitab. Why? It doesn't have any written duty, Christianity. Isa doesn't say, I have bring you these kitab and hikmah. He just says, I bring you hikmah. Why? Because it was a continuation of what was written in the book of Musa alayhi salam. So Isa just came to bring hikmah, not kitab. Kitab was there. He did not come to change anything. And the Jews, of course, have kitaban mawqutan lis-salat, and so following them the Christians have kitaban mawqutan lis-salat, and all religions, Abrahamian religions, have kitaban mawqutan lis-salat. So if they have abandoned it because of this kind of inclination in all human beings, a kind of mystical inclination, sometimes people say that we want to remember Allah in our hearts all the time, why should we pray five times a day this very definite times that Allah has mentioned? We want to remember Him all the time. Okay, if you don't, you are not reminded in those five times, you cannot remember Him in other times. And this is what has happened actually. And you see that people have abandoned it and they are not remembering God at all. Or, well, لا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا. Very little, they just remember Allah. They are reminded of Allah. Hmm? Yeah. لا يذكرون الله. Yes. That's it. They only say Allah is Kareem, is Rahim. Yeah, this is how they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's very important. Now, Isa didn't bring any kitab in that sense, any written duty. It was just what was written for them in the past. He did not come to change them. He just brought to give hikmah to it, because the hikmah of these sharaya were lust. Okay? They were done just habitually, without knowing what are the wisdom behind them. So what is hikmah now as compared to kitab? Is the wisdom behind what we do. And not only wisdom behind what we do in terms of prayers and sharaya, but wisdom behind everything. And wisdom of how we should act. Sometimes you feel that, you know, in this world we have two things. We have an out and we have an east. This is what usually is said in philosophy, in modern philosophy, that there are either statements which just state something about the facts, and outer statements which are moral statements, ethical statements, statements which speak about things which we have to do. They say there's no bridge between these two. I mean, there is something. Say, for example, say the evolution which Darwin talks about is a true statement. Suppose, we don't know, because this is a very, very vague kind of theory, but say it's true. But what ought we do if that is true? We don't know. Hitler said we have to kill everyone which is inferior in terms of evolution. And some people may say that, no, we must help others who are inferior to bring them up, to uplift them to our own levels. And these are two completely opposite outs coming out of one east. Okay? Now, in the Quran, usually what we ought to do, which doesn't come out of these east statements, is called hikmah. Wisdom of what to do and what not to do. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. We gave wisdom to Luqman. And what was that wisdom? أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. Give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the wisdom. Not all of us know this. We think that why should we give thanks to him? Does he need it, for example? Or does it uplift us spiritually at all? And this is a disputed. Whatever is disputed in among the people in terms of what should be done and what shouldn't be done. If you see Surah Isra, for example, there are many, many ethical statements made in Surah Isra, about 1.5 pages, many verses, starting with وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Your Lord has decreed that you should not worship but him, and you have to do ihsan to your parents, and many, many other things. وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عَلْمٍ. Do not follow what you have not known, you don't have any knowledge about, and all these things. And at the end it says, ذَلِكَ بِمَّا أَوْحَى إِلَيْكَ رَبُّكَ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ. These are the wisdoms that Allah is revealing to you. Okay? So, hikmah is something, of course, it is not only specific to oaths. Sometimes the very factual knowledge, the knowledge which is true knowledge, we don't have really the true knowledge, because we don't have all aspects of everything. I mean, we give theories about many things. And those theories work in terms of technology. When we want to make something, those theories come in, they work. But we don't really know all aspects of something. And if someone has those all aspects, they have hikmah. And this hikmah is not but with saints and with prophets. Those who have supernaturally a kind of inclusive knowledge about things. As Luqman says, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي سَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ. Okay, this is a knowledge. This is not out, this is ease. But he knows it. How? He has it through that hikmah which Allah has given him. And of course, when Allah says about Yahya alayhi salam, and this is sometimes called hukm and hikmah, they are from the same roots. When Allah says about Yahya alayhi salam, وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيًّا, when he was a child we gave him hikmah and hukm. Okay? Or about the prophets, he says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحُكْمَ وَالنُّبُوَّةِ Okay, so these are three different things. Nubuwwah is different from Hukm. Hukm is different from Kitab, which probably is has this meaning. Okay, and of course in the Quran it is used in this meaning, and is used in the meaning of the book. So, this book is full of wisdom. It means it tells you what to do, what not to do. Not just in terms of prayers, just in terms of your life. Decisions, big decisions you want to make about your life. You go to this book, you find the wisdom there, provided you ponder, you think, when you recite it. And many, many things become very clear, or clearly stated there. We have to find it out, and of course, any book of knowledge should be pondered upon to find out. I mean, if you have a book of chemistry, for example, and it's about very detailed kind of relationship between different materials, you just don't go and recite it by heart or very quickly and say, okay, I have read this, I didn't find out how these materials are related to each other or transformed to each other. And you say, well, this is not a very beneficial book because I read it, I didn't find anything. Of course you have to ponder. For that pondering, you have to go to school, you have to learn many things, you have to learn preliminaries so that you find out what that book is talking about. And the Quran is the same. Just don't rush reciting it and saying that, well, Quran says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this book is full of light. But where's the light? I just find zulma in it. I mean, when I recite it, I just feel that I'm depressed, I'm not getting anything, I just do it for sawab. Okay, because you don't have the preliminaries, you have to get those preliminaries to find out more about it. Okay, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ على صراط مستقيم. This is a second kind of news that Allah is giving us about the Prophet. And Allah, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. You are from the messengers. على صراط مستقيم. And you are on the right path, on the straight path. Okay, we'll talk about Siratul Mustaqim, inshallah, if God gives us tawfiq and life, when we come to the verse in Surah Yasin, Alam a'had alaykum ya bani Adam, Allah ta'budu shaytan wa an'abuduni, hada Siratul Mustaqim. We'll talk about it later on. But just one thing, when Allah says there is a Siratul Mustaqim, there is a straight path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it imply? Any idea? What does it imply? When Allah says, there is a straight path towards me, and you are one of those messengers who guide people towards this straight path towards me, what does it imply? Shortest. It's the shortest. Well, what opposite could we have for Siratul Mustaqim? Not straight. No, going astray. Okay. Yeah. We could go astray. But first of all, Sirat is a path. It means that we have a path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go through. Okay. This is very important. We have a path towards Allah. So, it implies that there are people who think that there's no path. Okay. But you are from the messengers guiding to the path. And straight path implies that there are other paths, not a straight path. Well, there might be no path at all, as some people think, and there are paths which are not straight. And this is mentioned in Quran in many, many different occasions, that some people want the path towards Allah to be convoluted. Not straightly they want to go him. الَّذِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Those who bar from the path of Allah. First, those who bar from the path of Allah. وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجَ They want it to be convoluted. They want it to be like this. They don't want to go straight. path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you hear many talks about different religions. You hear all people of the world talk about a kind of spirituality, a kind of innate relationship that they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you listen to them, you say, how nice they talk about it. This is the thing that I want in my inner soul. This is spirituality, this mysticism. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ غَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And there are some people, when they talk, you are just fascinated by their talks. You just think it's from your inner soul that they are talking. But when it comes to the path towards Allah, they talk about convoluted paths. Paths which are very difficult to tread, to go ahead with. And of course, you have a siratun mustaqim towards him, okay? And inshallah, we'll talk about what is siratun mustaqim in that verse which I mentioned coming later on in Surah Yunus. Now, what is all this? You are from Mursaleen. Well, I swear by Quran al-Hakim that you are from Mursaleen over the right path. And this is Tanzeel al-Aziz al-Rahim. This is, well, usually when you read the translations of the Quran, they translate Tanzeel as a revelation from God, from Aziz, the Almighty, All Merciful. But of course, revelation is wahy, not Tanzeel. And they are used in different places according to the context in the Quran. They have the same meaning, but different stress and emphasis are put on different aspects of this revelation to the Prophet when it's used as Tanzeel or Enzal or Wahy. Now, he says, this is a sending down, Tanzeel is sending down. Sending down, of course, of wisdom, of knowledge, of whatever is in this book from Aziz and Rahim. Now, what does it mean sending down? Why Allah uses this word very much is Tanzeel, is Enzal, is coming down, being sent down to you. Is Allah up there sending, or is Jibreel up there to send it down to us? Or, I mean, is there any up and down when we talk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, in this regard, can we say that Allah is up there, is high in its position, and he sends it down to us? Any idea why this Tanzeel is used here? Yes? So when you say higher, in what terms? So it's not a spatial kind of highness or lowness. It is a kind of spiritual highness, a kind of highness in meaning, in terms of being. So when Allah sends it down, it means it come from a very high level to a very, very low level. Now, we are told that this Quran that you recite is not the Quran which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is very high in meaning. The hikmah there is very different. Okay, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ. This is a very, very beneficial Quran. فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٍ. It is in a sealed book. It means no human being can ever have access to that book, those meanings. Okay, but well, when we say they can't have access, it doesn't mean that it is somewhere, it's locked, it's sealed, and you can't get it. No, it means in terms of your capacities, in terms of your capabilities, your potentialities, you have no way to understanding that book, which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it means you have no way to understand the hikmahs behind things unless they are told in your own language. And it says, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُتَحَرُونَ. Of course, there are some human beings which can touch that, those concepts and those meanings. But for you to understand تَنزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It has been sent down in terms of its meaning, in terms of its hikmat. It has translated into your language. The Prophet understands those high concepts which no language could explain. But when he wants to tell it to us, it translates into all our language. وَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ. We have made this easy through your language, through your tongue. So that you say it, the Prophet is like a kind of medium between that very high book and between this Quran and us. Okay? He gets those very high meanings. It is translated into our language and it is spoken of by the Prophet. Now, the difference between the Quran and other books, some other books, there are other books which are like Quran as well, but the difference is that other prophets might have got those concepts, which of course no one but Mutahharun could reach, and they translated inside themselves the medium, the soul, and they spoke of it in their own language, in their own wording, phrasing. But Quran, not only it is translated by the Prophet to us in his own language, but the very wording which the Prophet should tell should be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He, after the Prophet get those concepts, and that is إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Those concepts have come to you on Laylatul Qadr completely. This is what, when we say that the whole Quran was revealed to the heart of the Prophet on Laylatul Qadr, okay? And then Prophet want to say it. Sometimes he rushed to say things, but Allah said, you shouldn't do that. We have to tell you exact wording of it, after which you could only convey this to people. And وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِلِسَانِكَ. Do not hurry with your tongue to say those concepts to people. We have to tell you the wording. مِنْ قَبْ وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُغْضَى إِلَيْكَ وَحْيُهُ. Before we have revealed to you what to say, do not rush to say to people these meanings. Okay, so the very wording and of course the concepts have come down, sent down to the Prophet. And of course he translated for us. And Prophet, so it's very, very important. Very important. It's not just a kind of mechanical choosing of someone and Allah giving him a mission. Okay, go say these things to people. Unless it is a soul that could capture those concepts, no one could do this mission. And this puts the Prophet in a very, very high status. And of course, why Aziz and Rahim is used here, inshallah we'll talk about it. In 3 weeks' time, we have 2 weeks off, next week and the following week, and inshallah, in 3 weeks' time, we talk about this thing. If there's any question or comment, or any correction from the side, on behalf of Shaykh, inshallah. 4th of May, yes.
Fourth of May. Brother, sister, if you want some volunteers to pass around the mics, please. 3 in the ladies, 3 in the gent.
I'm just wondering whether this special knowledge which is available in the Kitab al-Maknoon, whether it is just available for the Prophet, or has it been available to others? Like, because when we hear Imam Ali's hadith, when he says "Allamani Rasulullah al-fababin min al-ilm," what does he mean by that?
No, it's available for Mutahharun. Okay, and Mutahharun, those are whose heart are purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that no wrong desire would come to it. Alright? And these mutahharun might be prophets, might be among saddiqeen, which are our a'imma, are among those categories of people. And we have specifically the verse mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْحِيرًا. Allah wants to take the filth from you, Ahlul Bayt, of course, filth of heart, and purify you, and so they are purified, and so they have reached to those concepts. But They don't have mission to talk about it, of course. It's the mission given only to the Prophet, and the wording comes down only to the Prophet, not to A'imma alayhimus salam. So they can't talk a Qur'an, a verse of the Qur'an. But they have reached to those concepts, to that knowledge, to all the wisdom which are very high in that Kitab al-Maknun.
Can we give sisters a chance next, please? Okay, anyone?
You said that Nabi Isa alayhi salam just brought wisdom through Injil. Yeah. The Quran says that this Quran is full of wisdom. So are you saying that the Quran has got hikmah and something else, while Nabi Isa alayhi salam, when he brought Injil, was just wisdom and nothing else?
As I said, this is my opinion. Of course, when I say he brought wisdom, it is as compared to Kitab, which is written duty, not the Kitab, which is the book. We know that he brought Injil. Of course, we don't know where that Injil is now, because the Injils that we have now are like the Siras written for the Prophet. So we don't have that Injil given to Isa alayhi salam at all. We have no trace of it. But we know he brought a book, but not written duties, as we know, because he was a continuation of the prophets of Bani Israel on the religion of Musa alayhi salam. So all those duties were re-established, reinstated by him. But of course, those duties which were disputed among Jews, he came to judge between them what duty was right, what duty was wrong. But he also brought the hikmah behind those duties and hikmah behind our life to the people. So this hikmah does not mean that he did not bring any book. It means he did not bring any written duties. Kitab in this meaning. Duties, just the worships that we have to do, like salat, like zakat, like fasting, and all these are written duties. For example, we have kutiba alaykum as-sal, and also social relations which are written for us. Kutiba alaykum as-salat, fasting is written to you, on you, kutiba alaykum as-sal. Salat is written on you, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, fasting is written on you, kutiba alaykum al-jihad, jihad is written on you, kutiba alaykum al-qisas fil qatla, qisas is written on you. These are all kitabs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are contained in the Quran and in the Bible as well. For example, he said, وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا, we wrote in the Bible, in the Torah for them, أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْعَيْنَ بِالْعَيْنِ, we wrote for them, and this is a kitab, of course, that a person for a person, an eye for an eye, an ear for an ear, this is a kitab. And when I say Isa didn't bring any kitab, it means these kind of kitabs. He just reinstated these kitabs, and of course judged among those disputed kitabs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Studying the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I find it very difficult that he was hurrying. Why would he be given the instruction of la ta'ajal? What was he hurrying about?
Well, because he was so eager to guide the people, and we are told in the Quran that this was the attitude of the Prophet, that he even exerted so much effort and he was so much concerned about the faith of the people who were around him, about his family, that we are told in the Quran, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخُ نَفْسَكَ, do you ever want to perish yourself that they do not believe in you? أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنُ لَعَلَّكَ بَاخُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثَ أَسَفَ. You might be very, very sad, and you want to perish yourself that they do not believe in you in this hadith, in this statement. So we know that he was very eager, and that hurrying was not the status of a person who was rushing in his activities, but a person who was eager to tell to people what he knew so that they come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is of course a good characteristic rather than a bad one.
Friday evening we'll hear from you about Prophet's time management skills. Because he did so many things at such a short time, and you must tell us how he did it.
Inshallah.
Okay, come back to the men's side, anyone?
Sheikh, continuing from the previous question and the answer, now Allah says in the Quran that whatever Prophet says is from us and it is not from out of his own whim. So did actually Allah want the Prophet to hurry up, because then it doesn't reconcile?
No, the point is it never happened. Prophet wanted to do it, okay? We are not told that he did it. He wanted to do it and Allah told him, do not try to rush. We will tell you what to say about those concepts. But in terms of that ayah, وَلَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْحَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, he does not, of course, talk out of whim and is only a revelation to him. Well, certainly, these are the verses about the Qur'an, not about all statements of the Prophet. Suppose Prophet wanted to go to market and buy something. Would he wait for a revelation from Allah to come to say, okay, what kind of bargain you make, what kind of thing you buy? Well, of course, this was a kind of ordinary. Or, for example, his relationship with his family, his wives, did he wait for a revelation for Allah to come down to tell them things? No, of course not. As a human being, he talked to them very naturally. But whatever he said in terms of religion, in terms of guidance, and especially the Qur'an, of course he did not talk out of his whims, he talked only after he was told to talk.
We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere, and he's closer to us than we realize ourselves. With this mutahharun, the people that are tahir and siddiq, are they closer to him or is he closer to them? So is there some unevenness about how much God is with one person compared to everyone else? Do you know my question?
Yes. Well, actually, instead of saying God is everywhere, we better say everywhere is with God, because of course he has created everywhere. And saying that he is everywhere gives him a flavor of having space, okay? But well, of course, he's out of space, so everywhere is with him, rather than he being everywhere. But the point is, yes, he is the closest to all of us now. Nothing actually disappears from his sight or his knowledge. It's very natural for him. You are just seeing me naturally, because Allah has given you this ability. He very naturally, of course, naturally, again, is not a right word to use for Allah, so he very naturally knows the deepest things that go in everyone's heart, because this is the kind of the knowledge he has. Okay? Now, the point is, our hearts are away from him in the sense that do not grasp him, do not understand him, do not have a knowledge of him. And the closer we become to him, it doesn't mean that we move from some place to some other. It means we get deeper and deeper in understanding this world and him. Of course, these are two different things. And therefore, yes, mutahharun are closer to him in terms of their hearts being more open towards understanding whatever is related to him. And we might be at a more distance in the terms that our hearts do not grasp things which are related to him. And some people are totally distanced from him. And as Allah says about them, فَبُعُدًا لِقَوْمٍ ظَالِمِينَ, a far distance be upon the ظَالِمِينَ. It means a far distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means they cannot understand anything about him. Okay? Now, the more we are purified, we get taqwa and tahara, the closer our hearts will become towards him. So here we have sat down, all of us, and Allah is as close to every one of us, but we are not as close to him in an equal way. Some of us are closer, some of us are farther away. alaykum salam.
You know this verse, you said that the Quran talks about nothing will touch it except the mutatahirun. The verse that it talks about the Quran. Does that mean that if the two things I want to ask you. One, it's relating to that you should not recite the Quran till unless you are in a state of wudu, which is implied by that. I want you to make a comment on that. But the other thing that I want to ask you is that does that mean that if we are not pure enough, then we will not get the essence of the Quran? That means we will not understand when we recite it or when we ponder upon it, we will not reach the meaning that Allah has meant for it. Or does this just mean that we'll get to higher stages? So this is like a process, there's a sort of a continuum from a lower level to a higher level. So that means that we can get something but not everything.
Yeah. Well, regarding that jurisprudential dictum that you have not to touch Quran without wuzu, usually the jurists do not resort to this ayah for that. There are lots of hadith about it. And of course, this ayah is a support for all that. Okay, but it really means that you cannot touch those meanings without purification. And we are told that Quran has different levels of depth. The butun, different levels of depth Quran has. And those different levels of depth are understood. I mean, all of us might have the same talent, okay? But it is those different levels are understood by different people in terms of their differences in purity. So the more you are purified, the more Allah lets you to see those meanings, to touch those meanings. And of course, when you become like a Siddiq, like Amirul Mu'mineen, like A'imma alayhi salam, or like the Prophet, you touch all those depths, all those meanings and knowledge that is endowed in the Quran. That's why A'imma, for example, said we can issue dictums about every aspect of religion from the Quran. They said everything is mentioned in the Quran, but why can't we find it? Because we don't have that depth in understanding it. They did have it, and they said, whatever we tell you, we have inferred this from the Quran, but we don't know where. Okay? Because they had the reach to that depth of the Quran, and we don't have it. Okay, inshallah. So I see you in 3 weeks' time. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.